What a game in Game 1 last night for the Edmonton Oilers. OT winner by Leon Draisaitl.
So, Jamie, last night I was not going to sleep at the end of that game.
Were you buzzing?
I was buzzing, and I was just watching the post-game coverage, and they were playing that stupid song on repeat in the building. So behind the panel, they got that song going on and on and on and on. And this morning I get up, and just before my alarm, I woke up. Guess what song was going through my head?
Were you whistling in your sleep? You're probably whistling it in your sleep. I'm surprised you weren't whistling before the show like you were yesterday, Pink Pony Club. I think I've heard you up and down the hallway.
Infuriating song. Well, I'll be whistling it before I realize that I'm whistling the song I hate. That's how...
I'm taking so much joy in watching Locker catch himself in the office. It's about every half an hour going, because he's whistling Pink Pony Club.
Shit woke up this morning.
Thoroughly enjoyable.
What is wrong with me?
It's a banger. There's nothing wrong with you.
All right, here we go.
Each and every day, we begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines. Of course, today's the day. Thursday night, under the lights, Mosaic Stadium. The Riders open their season against the Red Blacks.
Third and one from the gun underneath those Thursday night lights. Singing long live the night.
Away we go. For another CFL season, the Riders 7 o'clock start time. Of course, the Green Zone pregame show will begin this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Dave Naylor, our CFL analyst, says this is the preview of the two teams that will play for the Grey Cup in November in Winnipeg, Ottawa v. Saskatchewan. Britton Gray said the same thing. I'm going Montreal Riders. Belton has the Riders. Darrell has the Riders in the Grey Cup. High expectations for the green and white this season. 1-877-332-8255. Do you have a Rider season prediction you'd like to share? You can give us a call. Give us a prediction here on the Green Zone.
Game one, Stanley Cup Finals, did not disappoint.
McDavid, it falls! Leon Draisaitl, game one hero!
That was the OT winner. Leon got that. Two goals, two assists for McDavid. It was McDavid's night, in my opinion. The final, Panthers 3, Oilers 4. It was won in overtime. I think less than a minute left in that OT, that first OT as well. Game 2, Friday night. Last night, in my opinion, sets us up for what is going to be probably one of the better Stanley Cup finals we've seen in years. That was an unbelievable game. Both teams played very, very well. I know Oilers came out on top, but that could have gone either way. Another come-from-behind win as well for the Edmonton Oilers. They have a record in this playoff. They've got 5 straight. That's never happened before. I looked it up this morning to see what the record was. It's 11 come-from-behind win victories in a playoffs, and it was the Penguins back in 2008, I think. I think I might have the year wrong. I'll have to double-check that.
When they won it? Or when they lost to Detroit?
I think when they won it.
Okay, so that would have been 09.
09? Okay, so I'll just double check that. But Edmonton 6th in the playoffs this year, a come-from-behind win. So great game. Looking forward to Friday night.
Some other NHL news. All the coaches have now been hired in the NHL as the Boston Bruins make theirs. Yes, Marco Sturm is the new head coach of the Boston Bruins, the organization's 30th head coach. So we'll see how he does. A lot of new coaches.
Some new blood.
Like, yeah. First-year guys getting jobs in the National Hockey League. So Marco Sturm, the new head coach in Boston.
And in the NBA, game one of the NBA Finals tonight.
Reed picks up SGA. Pull-up jump shot. Got it. SGA spins. Gobert looking to help, taking his time, falling away. It's up. It's good. SGA playing like an MVP.
Canadian boy, and looking forward to that game tonight. It is game one of a best of seven series, and obviously we got, I'm guessing that the Thunder have the edge over the Pacers, but it'll be a good series.
And lots of Canadians. There's
lots
four Canadians, two starters for the Thunder, with Shea Gilgeous-Alexander leading the way.
Speaking of Canadians, and I start for the Canadians at the RBC Canadian Open as the PGA Tour has landed in Toronto.
Hughes.
Yeah, and really no visual flag stick, but...
Oh! Hello, Mackenzie Hughes.
Yes, Mackenzie Hughes drains it for an eagle. He was with a threesome of all Canadians, Taylor Pendrith, Nick Taylor, and Mackenzie Hughes. Taylor Pendrith actually has the lead right now in the clubhouse as the Canadians top in the leaderboard. He's 5-under. As for Rory McIlroy, he is even par in the first round of the RBC Canadian Open.
And breaking news.
Locker's favorite news today.
The Steelers have signed Aaron Rodgers.
And that guy needs to stay in California and go,
thank
go
you.
Somewhere and,
thank
and
you.
Chew on bark and whisper to the gods out there.
100%.
Ayahuasca Aaron is on his way to Steel Town.
That was Terry Bradshaw.
Quarterback.
Terry Bradshaw wore number 12. He won Super Bowls. His number is not retired. Is Aaron going to wear number 12?
I'm not only going to predict that he will wear number 12. I would be willing to bet a large sum of money. No, don't call Chad. I would be willing to bet a large sum of money that when that interview happened and that clip went viral, someone sent it to Aaron and Aaron made his decision right then and there to go play for the Pittsburgh Steelers, called them up. Called his agent up and said, stroke a deal, I'm playing again. That's how narcissists work. That is exactly what happened. I would bet my house on it.
1 year, $20 million. The Pittsburgh Steelers have their quarterback, Aaron Rodgers.
What could go wrong?
We know what could go wrong. We watched it play out with the New York Jets. And we watched it play out at the end of his career with the Green Bay Packers. We almost know what's going to go wrong with Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin, what are you thinking?
Here's the other thing. Here's the side of the equation that no one talks about. Everyone's so hyper-focused on Aaron Rodgers. You're forgetting about Tomlin. He's got a massive ego as well. These coaches think, I can handle him. I'll control that guy. No problem. Bring him in. Nothing's going to change. These massive egos in these games and these professional sports, that's how they're wired, Jamie. They don't care what anybody thinks or says. They have, like, that's how their minds work.
But shouldn't they care what the guy they're signing thinks and says?
I'll control them.
Shouldn't they know and think? They shouldn't care what we have to say. Of course not. They shouldn't care at all what two idiots on the radio say. But Aaron Rodgers has shown you, he shows you every day, every time he's on the Pat McAfee podcast, that what and who he is.
I'm going to fix this guy. It's not going to be a problem. He's going to fit into my structure, my system. It's not going to be any problems. That's ego.
We'll see how it goes for the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers. That news came down just
it'll give us something
moments
to talk
before
about.
The show. Alrighty then. Coming up next, we're gearing up for kickoff. It's a game day edition of the Green Zone, and Britton Gray's latest All or Nothing is next on Running It Back one more time, but is it one last time for Trevor Harris? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on a game day edition of the Green Zone. Of course, the Riders and the Red Blacks opening the CFL season tonight at Mosaic Stadium. 7 o'clock, the kickoff on TSN. And we have our pregame show at 5 with Belton Johnson, Daryl Davis,
And, of course, Britton Gray each and every week brings you the latest episode of All or Nothing. A look at one of the major storylines for the Riders going into this season is the health, the future of Trevor Harris. As they run it back one more time with Trevor Harris with a one-year deal, but is it for the last time? Here's the latest from Britton Gray.
When Trevor Harris first came to the CFL back in 2012, he didn't think he would be up in Canada for long.
Thought I was just going to come up here for a few years just to kind of put some years of coaching or playing professional football on my resume so I could coach. And you blink an eye and here's 13 years later in the CFL.
Now he's 39 years old and trying to not only lead the Riders to a Grey Cup win, but one as a starter himself. Last year was a season of change for Saskatchewan, but plenty of positive steps were taken as well. Despite a new head coach in Corey Mace and Harris coming off a serious knee injury in 2023, the team was able to make it all the way to the CFL West Final. But then 2024 ended in heartbreak once again to the Winnipeg Blue Bulls.
Morris, see, pick an end zone. Down the field, Lawler's got a five. Touchdown, Winnipeg. Down the field, Lawler again. Touchdown, did he get there? Yes. Morris, end zone, Getzky, touchdown.
Harris was nearly unable to describe the emotions following that loss.
It hurts. I love this. I love this group. And this group has grown a lot. It's battled through a lot of adversity. Things maybe that you guys wouldn't know, like what Jameer was playing through this year. And this group was a fun group to be around. I'm just not ready for it to be over.
He also needed to take some time to make a decision about his future.
Looking off the field in Winnipeg, wasn't sure what happened next. And, had the short time, talk with my wife and whatnot.
But that conversation was quick, and Harris is back for another year despite suffering not only a sprained MCL, but a partially torn ACL as well. He says he spent the offseason sharpening his skills.
Getting the body to feel, in shape and good. And, sometimes when you're in your mid to upper 30s, it can get a little bit more tedious in terms of the body work you need to do.
Something that has made Harris so productive for so long has been his football IQ. Running back A.J. Ouellette got a chance to see it firsthand as the two drove from Ohio to Regina ahead of camp.
It kind of makes you mad because, you're coming up and I'm trying to read the playbook scripts for camp and all that, trying to be like, all right, what if the defense does this? And he has an answer for freaking everything. And then he's designing plays on our drive up and all that.
But even though he has played in plenty of opening weeks, Harris still gets excited about them.
All the guys making fun of my age yesterday, it hurt. It's like, wait, I'm not that old. I think I'm in my 20s, right? But when you strap the helmet on, you feel like you're a kid out here. I don't feel my age. I'm excited about it, but I'm very, very grateful.
And while he is chasing a Grey Cup to go along with his impressive stats, when it comes to his legacy, Harris isn't focused on those.
I like to think when I'm done, I've turned over every stone and given everything I had to this game when I'm done. But more than anything, I just want my teammates to know I loved them and lean into one another, because we talked a little bit about that today. Football is one of the games where you can't do anything alone. Like, you need your brothers, you need your teammates. And to me, that's what makes it so unique. It challenges you mentally, emotionally, physically, and asks you to be a part of something bigger than yourself. And that's what's just so beautiful about football to me. And in terms of legacy, I think that's, just something that people can talk about. But I hope my legacy is that of just unselfish and love my teammates, to be honest.
For the Green Zone, I'm Britton Gray.
One more time with Trevor Harris. He just turned 39 years old. He's on a one-year deal with the Rough Riders. Of course, he has talked about he thinks he could play like Tom Brady did. He's taken care of him. He might be in better shape now than he was 10 years ago when he cut into the Canadian Football League. So it's a big year for Trevor Harris. It's a big year for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders with at least one more with Harris this season. And we'll see how it plays out. At Mosaic Stadium tonight, 7 o'clock is the kickoff. The Green Zone pregame show at 5. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this game day Thursday. Riders, Red Black, 7 o'clock on TSN as the CFL season opens up. By the way, you can play along with us here on the Green Zone with CFL Fantasy and CFL Pick'em.
I've set up some leagues at CFL.ca on their game zone. They do a great job over there for engagement. All you have to do is find the leagues and pick them, and in the fantasy green zone. Just type in green zone, two words. If you see Green Zone Nye as commissioner, that'd be the right league. You can join us. Sign up today before a kickoff and register your team and update it every week. Make your picks. I am the two-time reigning champion of CFL Pick'em from the CFL.ca expert pickers. I use the term expert very loosely, more like throw darts and pray as the CFL season
begins. What do you win?
The honor and admiration of my peers. That's all I ever want in life. And win the lottery. That is what I also would like in life, of course.
Yeah, that's my retirement plan.
Of course, sign up right now if you'd like, CFL.ca. You can find the link to those leagues as well on my X account, at Jamie Nye and Green Zone SK. But Green Zone League, if you're looking to play along with CFL Pick'em this year. But Locker last night.
Game one.
Oh, what a that was!
Come on,
that was such a great opener for the Stanley Cup Final.
Oh, the Nickelback piece.
I could have done without that. although I will get into it with our grades. Let's get to our Green Zone grades from last night.
You're going to start with your failing grade, Jamie.
Oh, my failing grade. You want me to start with the failing grade? I got one for you.
Almost no sense. Over the glass, and there's 20,000 making the call.
Every time, big game, playoff, overtime, they will not call a hold. They will not call a hook. They sometimes don't even call high sticks, Maple Leaf fans, 1993. But don't you dare accidentally flip the puck over the glass, or you must serve 2 minutes and feel shame in the penalty box. Out of all the penalties where you can have discretion, or just treat it like icing, you don't get a change. Because that was the big problem. Well, they want a change, so they're just flipping the puck over the glass. Well, guess what? There's an easy way to do it. You don't get a change. Offensive zone faceoff. So it gives you nothing as a rest or anything. But no, it's a two-minute minor. It's as bad as holding a guy, high-sticking a guy, is accidentally throwing the puck over the glass in overtime in game one of the Stanley Cup Final.
Is it one of the worst penalties in sports?
It's one of the most frustrating ones for
me. Why isn't that a bigger conversation?
Because everybody says, well, it's the slippery slope. It'll go back to the old days when guys just flip the puck over the glass on purpose. But you allow officials to make decisions all over the ice on should it be an icing call or not, should it be this or not, should it be a hold, should it be a hook. You allow them to have that power, but for some reason they do not believe that the refs are able to decipher whether or not a guy is trying to delay the game by throwing the puck over the glass. Nope, that one we're making black or white, clear as day. Whether it's a two-minute minor or not. That is my failing grade, that is what led to the result of last night's game. I would have been up all night if I had to. Double overtime, bring it on.
Yeah. I even hate it when it's against, or, you know, it's for the team I'm cheering against. But last night, they had bad karma because of the icing delays that the Florida Panthers were messing with. So I think they kind of, that was a bit of karma coming back.
My substitute for failing grade, just real quick note. What was it the refs last night? They couldn't get out. The puck was hitting them all over the place.
They were
get
in out of the way. Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't believe it was like five or six times during that game.
The game is fast.
What are you doing? Anyways, that's my substitute failing grade as well, was the refs not getting out of the way last night either. Locker, what do you got for a failing grade?
We'll stick, Jamie, with the, the penalty calls. My failing grade is going to go to goalie interference.
here and scores.
Sam Bennett in front of the net where you would expect him to be. Woolman, the officials are having a discussion at center ice right now.
I want to preface this by saying this has nothing to do with the call last night. I was able to walk away from that Sam Bennett goal and go, okay, whatever. And then they got a penalty and they fought it off. It wasn't about that. I'm not whining about it. I'm talking about overall here. So nobody knows what goalie interference is now. It's a complete joke. Here's what's happening today. Paul Maurice, Chris Knobloch are pulling the teams in, and they're showing that Bennett goal last night and probably a couple of other failed attempts at goalie interference in this playoffs. Okay? Walman bumps Sam, if you missed it. Sam falls into Skinner. While he's going down, he tips in the Panthers' first goal. Now, I don't care if Sam did it on purpose or not. Here's what's going to happen after the result of the call last night where Chris Knobloch loses the challenge. Goalie interference, no one knows what it is. But the coaches are going to go to their goal front guys. They're going to tell them, if you get bumped, flop on the goalie. Okay? That's what's going to happen. And you're going to see it in the next couple of games. Unless they crack down on it. And then a goalie's going to get hurt. Then a backup is going to be finishing the Stanley Cup Finals. That's my prediction. This isn't me upset about what happened last night.
It was a bad challenge by Chris Knobloch, in my opinion.
Well, again, I would have challenged it as well. And I think most hockey people would have challenged that call.
Caught from behind. The foot caught him from behind. He fell backwards.
It doesn't matter about how he fell. He fell into the goalie. Jamie,
The action of the defender that caused him. That's part of the rule. If the defender causes a player to hit your goalie, that's not goaltender interference. It's not. I thought that was a bad challenge, and it led to a 2-1 goal on the power play. I was thinking, ooh, is this a Jim Hillier moment for Chris Knobloch on that challenge? I thought it was a bad challenge. I watched the play. I had this debate with my 7-year-old. He saw what you saw, which was goaltender interference. I saw what I saw, which was Sam Bennett probably knowing exactly what he was doing. But
exactly,
you can't call it by, I think he knew what he was doing when the skate knocks his balance off and he falls backwards. I agreed with the call, Locker. I agreed with it.
My issue is that there is confusion around what goaltending interference is. And from one call to the next, it seems that the parameters are changing. Am I wrong?
Well, nobody really knows what goaltender interference
is. So I'm not wrong. So last night may have been an example of where that wasn't goaltender interference, but you got a guy who coaches professionally in the NHL being told by guys that don't make many mistakes, like his crew, his video crew, is touted in the NHL as one of the best. They're in his ear right away. Call that one. Challenge that one. Nobby, get on it.
Right when I saw the replay, I said, this is not goaltender interference.
Even the panel was like, I would have called that. That's goaltender interference.
And did you see the challenge? It was quick. They're like, no, he gets tripped into the goaltender. That's not goaltender interference. By the book, I knew what they were calling.
If I'm Corey Perry on Friday night, I'm going to be falling all over Bob. I'm going to be laying on top of him 4 times in every period.
I don't think it would have taken what happened last night for Corey Perry to do that. That's been his entire career in existence in the National Hockey League.
Anyway, my failing grade, rule 8.5 in the NHL, goalie interference. I think they got to do something to clear it up. And I don't know what it is, but they've got to figure it out because, I mean, we're in the Stanley Cup Finals, and you've got calls like that. The goalie, I mean, delay a game, that's worse in my opinion. But this has been an ongoing conversation for the last, 6 months?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Jamie, your top grade.
My top grade is this back and forth last night on TNT.
Pink Pony, is that a band or is that a song?
It's a woman. She sings a song, Pink Pony Club, and it's famous. It's on the radio.
Canadian? American?
I think it's an American girl, but all of a sudden it popped off. I believe she won a few Grammys, and now they're rocking it in the locker room, so I'm
Pink
curious.
Pony.
Pink Pony. It's the new generation, Wayne.
I gotta get that on my ringtone.
On my ringtone. I can't wait for the next time Janet gives him a call. I'm in for panel discussions like that. That is like the NBA on TNT panel.
I like
the
that
back
panel.
And forth, the banter. It doesn't have to be the X's and O's all the time of hockey. Let's just have some fun. And they're having some fun. And Wayne, the pink pony, what? Is this a Canadian, American? Biz Nasty having to explain to the greatest hockey player ever who Chapel Roan and Pink Pony Club was hilarious.
I'm with you, Wayne. I don't get it either.
What do you mean? He's into it. He's making it his ringtone. Locker?
My top grade goes to Jake Wallman, a complete warrior, took a beating last night, stayed in the game. He's my unsung hero from last night. Third pairing, still played 23 minutes. Nobby is moving those lines through really nicely. He doesn't have the offensive upside on that Bouchard does, but in my very, very humble opinion, he is the Oilers' best puck mover on the back end in the playoffs right now. He is spectacular back there.
There are our top grades and our failing grades from last night's game number one. What gets your top grade? What gets your failing grade? You can let us know at 1-877-332-8255. That is the fan line to give us a ring. Well, I can tell you, Locker, with almost certainty, today, I believe it was the first time after our boss, Murray Wood, left the office that I actually texted him to come back. And it was to honor a very special occasion. We'll celebrate the anniversary next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Is this a business? Hepbridge Farm remembers.
On this day in sports history, June the 5th, 2004, I made sure I Locker was like, what are you doing? I texted Murray Wood, our boss. Murray, come back to the office real quick. Come back to the office. Locker had no idea what I was doing. I needed to see Murray's reaction when I said, happy anniversary, Murray. June 5th, 2004.
Goes off the right pad of Happy Boolin. Here is a look, a close-up look. You have to definitely see the puck over the line to count it.
Yes, Martin Jelena. It could have been a kicking motion, actually, on that goal, too. It went off his skate. Many Flames fans will tell you the puck was in 2006, late in the third period, to win that Stanley Cup. Of course, they didn't review it. Science has proven that puck did not cross the line. And then later in double overtime that night.
There's a shot for the point by Taylor. Rebound, chance, score! Martin St. Louis! There will be a game 7 on Monday night in Tampa, Florida.
What happened in that game 7 on Monday night in Tampa, Florida would be the Tampa Bay Lightning winning the Stanley Cup over the Calgary Flames.
And that exchange with our boss did nothing to strengthen the Green Zone's relationship with Murray Wood.
Right when I hit play.
He knew.
And he heard this. When he heard Sabrikin, he's like, is this 2004? And then
he left.
That was the quickest meeting I've ever had with Murray Wood.